His multiple felony charges for allegedly throwing his infant daughter out his car and onto the Highway 9. The 9-month-old girl survived. A bill that would mandate life sentences for some convicted child molesters cleared its first hurdle at the state capitol. Lawmakers who passed it listened to tearful testimony from the father of Chelsea King, whose killer pleaded guilty last week. Oakland police have arrested two men in connection with the brutal attack of a man and his adult son that appeared to be unprovoked. The father is in grave condition. And with a KGO 24-hour traffic check, it's Terry Rouse.
In Milpitas, northbound 880 at the Montague, it's a crash there that's cleared. Residual slowing, though, from First Street in San Jose. Also in San Jose, a crash north 101 before Alum Rock. Subway now has breakfast like the Subway Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Custom made just the way you want it. Build your better breakfast only at Subway. Terry Rouse, KGO Radio News.
Still a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. We are seeing some widely scattered showers this hour. Showers tonight. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds, sun, and showers. Windy and chilly as well. It's 58 in San Francisco, and on your radio, it's 810. KGO News Talk 810. I'm Brett Burkhart, KGO Radio News.
Advice for life with America's doctor, Dr. Dina Dell.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Dina Dell here. Welcome once again to the program. How could I help start with this? Iranian cleric saying that women who wear immodest clothing and behave promiscuously are the blame for earthquakes. You talk about a conflict of religion and science. There it is. There it is. It doesn't have to be, as you know. There have been many religions willing to accommodate knowledge as we gain knowledge. It's not as if we're, you know, sit in the same state that we were 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. Just take your religion and figure out when it was founded. And of course, we can't blame Iranian clerics. We have clerics in our country. They shall go unnamed right now because it's a long list who blame earthquakes and hurricanes and everything on our behavior. All right? So that's not adapting to the times. And of course, our buddy Ahmadinejad says that a quake is certain to hit Tehran and that many of its 12 million inhabitants should relocate. He's not going to tell us how he knows this or when. Of course, geologically, oh boy, Tehran sits on all kinds of fault lines. One of them 50 miles long, though they haven't had a major quake in 100 years or so. Many women who do not dress modestly lead young men astray, corrupt their chastity, and spread adultery in society, which consequently increases earthquakes. What do you think? This is a big shot guy. He's Tehran's acting Friday prayer leader. What can we do to avoid being buried under the rubble? He says. No other solution but take refuge in religion and adapt our lives to Islam's moral codes. So I don't get this. So now if they have an earthquake, they will blame it on people not being religious? Or if people take the advice and take refuge in religion and they have an earthquake, what would the excuse be? Oh, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. It is 2010, every place in the world, at least by the calendar. Quick quote here. So this is Obama's new administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And he's got a big job. He's got to figure out, you know, what is really worth it in healthcare? What's worth paying for and what's not? And here's his quote. You ready? Healthcare has no intrinsic value at all. None, he said. Health does. Joy does. Peace does. The best healthcare is the very least healthcare we need to gain the long, full, and joyous lives that we really want. The best hospital bed is an empty one, not full. The best scan is the one we don't need to take. The best doctor visit is the one we don't need to have. Now, we could spend an hour talking about what that means. And I think that spans a large gap, you know, that exists in healthcare today that involves things like preventive medicine, doing things that we can do to prevent things before they happen, teaching people when they need to see a doctor, when they need to take action, and when they don't, as, you know, as opposed to a nation full of whiny butts who run to the emergency room with every sniffle. So I'd be interesting to follow his career. Somebody offered up a thought here. What do you think? Watching all the downfall of Goldman Sachs and the federal case against them, the SEC going to go after them. And I thought to myself, what the SEC says is that they on purpose and knowingly created financial products that were a ripoff, that were going to fail. They knew they were going to fail. And then forgive me for a rough segue here, but I thought, isn't that the same thing the supplement industry does? They produce products they know don't work, they know are going to fail, and they sell them to you. But nobody seems to care about that one. Also, I've gotten some emails, some from friends. You know, we were talking the other day about if you are truly anti, quote, socialist, and I have to put it in quotes because you always have to define it, right? Why don't people just stand up and say, let's abolish Medicare already? Let's abolish Social Security. Be a man about it. Stand up for your rights in terms of your belief that any little action that involves government involvement in our lives is socialist. And then a suggestion here, but absolutely, you should abandon the VA system. Those sick and wounded servicemen and women should try to buy private insurance like the rest of us. And they should be turned down for pre-existing conditions, such as an act of war. So, if you are true, and I need help on this, if you are truly so upset about creeping socialism, and I don't want to get into the political aspects of it, but in terms of healthcare, why don't we abolish SSI, abolish Medicare, and abolish the VA? And if you don't agree with that, how can you claim you're anti-socialist? Another one, and I'll get off it. This involves, let me walk you into this in different order here. Let's suppose we're talking here, I'm reading a blog here of some people who went to one of the tax day tea parties, and they wondered if they thought, if they offered up before a Tea Party audience the following, an initiative, and listen to my wording here, you're going to propose to a Tea Party Tea Party rally the following initiative, that it's an initiative that gives greater freedom to the individual in matters of health, right? That's good. Raises government revenue without increasing personal taxes. That's good to me. Reduces crime. I'm sold. And would likely be opposed by the Obama administration. You'd think that would be a big hit at a Tea Party rally, and you know what? It was. Now, measuring that's hard. They handed out over 500 flyers with information on the initiative, and they took a big, like a billboard trailer with a big billboard proclaiming somebody's proclaiming advocacy for the initiative I just talked about. And why don't I just tell you what it is? Of course, it's the, I mean, I'm still shocked by it. I lived long enough to see it even proposed on the ballot in California would be the legalization of marijuana. And when they pulled a billboard down the middle of a Tea Party rally, there were no jeers, no cheers, actually no nothing. And, you know, they were wondering here how different the crowd's response would be if there was a big sign saying, support the tax and regulate. And there were some cheers. The point of all this, by the way, is that conservative thinkers, usually traditional conservative thinkers, you know, go back to the giants of the conservative party, and you'll find some of the most enlightened thinking when it comes to prohibition. And that, you know, a government does not have the right to regulate what we do with ourselves, with our own bodies, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So really, it's an initiative that, and the fact that there weren't any jeers and people carrying on, or maybe didn't understand the billboard, that initiative should appeal to those folks, the reasons I just told you. I don't get these. It just makes me sad for my culture. Here is a rented room between an auto body shop and a scrap metal facility, and it's a dentist. The guy's not licensed. He has the chair is just a regular office chair. He's got some dentures hanging around and some syringes. And he steps away from a metal scrap machine. And he uses on people's teeth something looks like a power tool. Usually he would use it for polishing metal. And the people spit into a garbage can instead of a sink. And there were five people in the waiting room when they busted this guy. I assume it's cheap, I guess. But wouldn't you think some of the things I just told you would be a little bit of a warning? No? All right. Okay, multitaskers. This is fascinating. It says here 2.5% of you are able to use a cell phone and drive without performing worse on either task. They had a few hundred college students perform a math and memorization test and a driving simulation. First as single tasks, and then simultaneously, While multitasking, they answered the test over hands-free cell phone. Nearly all the subjects took longer to break while multitasking and scored lower on the test. But a handful of them, whom the researchers dubbed supertaskers, could multitask without becoming worse drivers or test takers. Remarkably, supertaskers scored better on the test when they were driving. So there's nothing, I can't find more information in the article to answer a question I'm wondering about. Were any of these people ADHD? Wouldn't it be a hoot to find that ADHD people are better able to do these things, or maybe less able? I mean, I could make a case either way. You know, if you're really totally distractible, you're distracted by the driving task, you're not going to pay attention to the cell phone. Or I find that some ADHD people are able to keep track of separate things at the same time, which is kind of funny because their attention, although split, is really kind of good. Now, it's unclear whether supertaskers are more common among older, more experienced drivers, or how directly the findings apply to actual rather than simulated driving, but I thought you'd be interested in this. This one interests me. Only because as a kid, you know, as a young male, I had librarian fantasies like a lot of you. You know, I like girls in glasses. I like that look. What can I tell you? Well, here's a study that's been suppressed, evidently, done in 1992 of 5,000 librarians, long withheld by a professional journal, which found 1 in 5 respondents had engaged in sexual trysts among the stacks. This was to be published in a library bulletin, withheld the survey here because they didn't like what it found, indicating 51% of librarians in the early 90s were willing to pose nude for money. 61% of librarians admitted to renting an X-rated film. I don't know what this really means. Why should librarians be any different than the rest of us? The survey questions were printed in a now-defunct journal, but the bosses withheld the results and fired the guy for the survey. 22% of respondents believed condom dispensers in library bathrooms would be a good idea, and 14% said they had been harassed by a patron. Now, I thought I saw here the number of times, it's in here somehow, the number of librarians or people who have engaged in certain activities in libraries. All right, this is along the lines of what your mother ate, the health of your mother while she was pregnant with you, but it goes one step further. We're talking grandma. Now, it was done in animals, which offers us the convenience of really nailing this down. They found that when you fed an animal certain foods, and I the details aren't important, but a high-fat diet, that the granddaughters of those animals had an increased risk of breast cancer and breast changes. I can understand it. They explain it, how diet can influence these epigenetic changes, but it tells you that there's something going on adaptively, evolutionary-wise, and that makes sense. That would be passed on through granddaughter to daughter, basically, because this is how evolution works, how you adapt to these changes, all right? Here's a woman woke up in the morning speaking with a Chinese accent. She does seem to suffer from foreign accent syndrome. These are very, very rare. They always get reported, which is why I'm telling you about it. Now, I listened to a video of the woman, and it's hard because I don't know what she sounded like before, you see. But it sounded like a Chinese accent. What happens in these foreign accent syndromes? You wake up with a Swedish accent. It's not really a Swedish accent. What happens is the coordination of your tongue, your mouth, your voice box, etc., gets to change a little bit. By a stroke, this woman, it was a migraine. She suffers chronic migraines, and she was struck by such a severe headache it left her talking with an accent. She may have had a stroke. I mean, I hope the research. I have very little information on this woman, and I'm sure her doctors are thinking of that. But that's what foreign accent syndrome is. It just distorts your ability to control the muscles in your voice-making machinery, and it sounds like an accent. It's interesting on jealousy. And I have to reduce the methodology here just to get it down here. But catching your partner checking out a hot guy or a gal can do a number on even the most confident people. And they had a heterosexual romantic couple sit near each other at computers, right? And there's a curtain between them. Women had to pick out certain landscapes, architectural photos that were rotated with an images of streams that flashed on the screen. And then during the photo session, they had to ignore emotionally unpleasant things that were gruesome, and they were told that their men were next door on the other side of the curtain rating attractiveness of landscapes and also of women. attractiveness of other single women. When that happened, the women had to indicate how uneasy they felt about their partner scoping out other women. And jealous women were found to be more distracted. The more jealousy they reported feeling, the more distracted they were by emotional images. And they go on to explain all this. What seems to be occurring is that the women were being distracted by images that were consistent with their negative emotional state. See, in other words, they think, oh my goodness, my old man's looking at, sexy women. And the jealousy manipulation likely raised their temporary levels of anxiety. And turns out anxious people tend to be more prone to tend to negative emotional stimuli. I know it sounds all confusing, but they didn't do the reverse, and they're going to try it. They don't know what would happen if the roles were reversed and women got to check out hot single men while their partners completed the picture task. I would guess men are just as likely to get jealous and distracted by that. All right, you ready? I want you to think about your significant other. Yeah. I know you've been together for 10 years, stable relationship, but there got to be some things about your mate that annoy the heck out of you. Those little things that they do that drive you nuts. Well, what do they mean? Are you headed for divorce? How do you handle that? A fascinating, fascinating look at that. All right, 1-800-548-TALK. 1-800-548-8255, again, or TALK. I'm Dr. Dean Adell.
I've got 10,000 points.
I've got 20,000 points. Hotel rewards points, that is.
20,000? How long did it take you to get those?
Forever, and I don't even know how to redeem them.
Let America's Best Value In point you in the right direction. Join our free value club for immediate room discounts, upgrades, late checkout, and more. We've got you covered with 900 hotels in North America. Visit americasbestvaluein.com or call 888-315-2378. There's no need to wait for your hotel rewards.
All right, a few people out there might think I'm starting to sound like a broken record. Oh, here's the gecko again, they'll say. Come to tell us how we could save hundreds on car insurance by switching to Geico. Well, of course, that's exactly what I'm going to say. I suppose I could talk about the weather, but really, wouldn't you rather hear how 15 minutes could save you 15% or more? Exactly. And that's why I'll keep on repeatedly repeating myself.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you are going through menopause, perimenopause, or had a hysterectomy, please listen closely to this important announcement. Are you tired of hot flashes, constant fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, lack of sexual desire, and other symptoms caused by hormonal imbalance? You no longer have to resort to risky hormone replacement therapies. Now there's clinically proven Amberin, the first and only natural product that revives youthful hormone function. With just 2 tiny capsules a day, you can enjoy brighter moods, sound sleep, better sex, lose weight, and have tons of positive energy to do the things you love. Amberin is backed by published clinical studies and is guaranteed to work where other natural alternatives have failed. To learn more about this exciting new choice and to take advantage of the special promotion for radio listeners, call Lunata Biomedical at 1-800-339-0095. The number of free trials is limited, so please call now, 1-800-339-0095, or visit StopFlashes.com.
Your Mercedes is waiting at 1-800-NEW-BENZ and 1-800-NEW-BENZ.com. Shop over 400 new and certified pre-owned Mercedes from the combined inventories of Mercedes-Benz of San Francisco and Mercedes-Benz of Oakland. During our spring sign-and-drive event, lease a new 2010 Mercedes-Benz C300 for just $459 a month plus tax for 36 months with only tax and license total due at signing, 5 at this payment. Call 1-800-NEW-BENZ or go to 1-800-NEW-BENZ.com for Mercedes-Benz of San Francisco and Mercedes-Benz of Oakland, like Terry from Alameda.
I think it makes it affordable for, like, almost anyone.
Your Mercedes is waiting at 1-800-NEW-BENZ.com.
$459 per month plus tax for 36 months. Zero security deposit plus tax and license total due at signing. Lessee responsible at lease end for mileage over 10,000 miles per year. 25 cents per mile thereafter on above average approved credit to qualified lessees. Must lease through Mercedes-Benz Financial. Exclude C350, Formatic, and AMG models.
Expires April 30th, 2010.
Dr. Dean Adell, his intelligence will make you dizzy. So get on the medical merry-go-round. Ride the radio roller coaster with America's doctor. He's got your ticket. Just call 800-548-TALK. 800-548-8255. Woohoo!
Hi, everybody. Dr. Dina Dell here. Welcome to the program. Let's talk to Lisa. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm great, but my teenage son has acne on his back and his face to the point where it has caused a little bit of scarring at this point. And he's been using a acne medication that the dermatologist, actually a couple different ones over the last few years, and they work okay if he's really consistent about using it once or twice a day. But if he doesn't, his skin can just break out, you know, within hours it can be broken out. But what I've noticed is that when we are fortunate enough to go on vacation and we're at a beach and he's in salt water all day, within a day or two, it starts to clear up, and by the time we leave 5 days later, his skin looks fabulous, and you wouldn't know that he had any problem with acne. And then that lasts for about maybe 4 days, 5 days after we get home, and then we're back to breakouts.
Yes, interesting. And this is mostly, you said, on his back. Is that where it's at worst?
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the things is at home we're probably more cautious about putting the medication on his face because that's more visible. So if we're treating it as much as we are his face. But both areas break out, and, you know, I'm particularly concerned about the scarring on his face.
Yes, yes. Well, you should, obviously, you want to give him the advantage of treating this as effectively as you can, stay in touch with a dermatologist. And what you're describing is a known phenomenon, and it's usually attributed to the sun. I've noticed it myself when I was a kid. And dermatologists tell me that it depends on the kind of lesions. But they are usually, because I just hear this reported by so many people, I just don't think it's, you know, it relates to the ebb and flow of the normal, the normal state of acne. Now, if it's the sun doing this, is it the vitamin D? Is it the UV light? Is it the drying? Is it preventing? Are you just cleaner when you're in the water and jumping in the ocean all the time? You're not allowing oils to accumulate, the bacterial count in your skin goes down. I have no idea. I just know certain types of acne does seem to improve. I've had people tell me this with tanning beds. Now, this is not an excuse to go out and just blast yourself, but I just would need a dermatologist to help. And if anyone's done any studies on tanning beds, that could help the industry. I just can't say that because I've not seen any good studies on it. So, and yet I could be wrong. It just might be the salt water. We'd have to compare people going on a vacation to a place where there's only a freshwater swimming pool. But I always attributed it to the sun, and I think there's something there, but you can't, you know, expose your kid to the sun all winter, so you're going to have to fall back on traditional treatments, all right? Let's talk to Michael. How you doing, Michael? Welcome.
Yes, hi, Dr. Dell. I'm a 55-year-old male, and how can one determine if they're getting Alzheimer's disease?
I wish I knew the answer. We are getting close to some predictive types of tests where we can give you the test, you know, very, very early in the game. And that's what we want, so we can try some of these treatments and see if there's something that can stop it from getting worse. It usually is not the normal kinds of forgetfulness that happen to people as they age. And it may be among the most 10 most commonly asked questions on this program that people ask. I forgot where I put the keys. And I've told this story many times of my neurology professor who said, if people come to you as a patient and say, Doc, I constantly can't find my glasses, and you don't wear glasses, that's significant. But if you can't find your glasses, that's just a normal part of aging. As I've said many times, there's something different. People who have Alzheimer's will tell you how it's episodic and how they all of a sudden something really amazing they've never forgotten before they just grasp for. And there are personality changes that accompany it. And so if you take 1,000 people who fear that their memories are starting to slip away from them, only a few of them would go on to have Alzheimer's. So in general, there's no way you can know, but your doctor has some tests that they can do that seem to be predictive in an early sense. We used to use the clock deal, you know, have people draw a clock. You'd be amazed a person doesn't forget things and they sit there and they seem fine, but you ask them to draw a clock and put the hands on it and we get the numbers and they can't do it. And it surprises the heck out of them too. All right, we come back. Those annoying little things that your partner does. Does your partner have anything that just bugs you, ladies? Come on. Some little thing, maybe 100 little things. What does it mean? We're going to talk about that. 1-800-548-TALK, 1-800-548-TALK or 8255.
This is an update from the KGO Radio Newsroom. The San Francisco man assaulted in broad daylight on an Oakland street has died of his injuries. Two teenagers are under arrest in that attack. Antioch police will recommend that charges be filed against the parents whose seven-month-old daughter died after being left in the car for 14 hours. A bill to make it illegal to carry even an unloaded gun in public is moving through committees in the state legislature. And the ash cloud from the Iceland volcano is dissipating, so London's airports will reopen tonight. Los Gatos High School students stranded in Germany since the crisis began will arrive in San Francisco tonight. And Tamil Pius High School students stranded in France will arrive on Thursday. The weather, showery and in the 50s today, showery, windy and in the 50s tomorrow. This is KGO.
With AT&T high-speed internet, you can connect at blazing fast speed. Boom, I'm checking out a live feed of the news.
And now, today's
fast, right? See, home high-speed internet from AT&T has blazing fast speed, so it's easy to download funny videos, like this dog on a unicycle. Or just as quickly, I can do a little social networking.
Lisa is craving a slice of pizza. Lisa got these cool glasses on sale. Lisa is
And high-speed internet from AT&T also includes access to the nation's largest Wi-Fi network at no extra charge. Hey, can you guys keep it down?
Rude.
You're the one with all the browser windows open, mister.
Get the all-new high-speed internet from AT&T with speeds up to 24 megabits per second with AT&T UVerse. Call 1-800-PICK-ATT or visit att.com/HSI. Geographic and service restrictions apply to UVerse services. Call or go to uverse.att.com to see if you qualify. Speeds of 12 megabits per second or greater are only available with UVerse high-speed internet. 24 megabits per second downstream is now available in some markets and coming to all markets by summer 2010. Internet speeds not guaranteed. Many factors can affect actual speeds, including use of other UVerse services.
You know the TV show where some lucky family gets a complete home makeover absolutely free? I'm Larry Green, CEO of System Pavers, America's number one installer of interlocking paving stones and outdoor living systems. Well, System Pavers is offering a free outdoor living space design to the first 10 callers who respond to this radio ad right now by calling 888-PAVE-002. Our design consultant will come to your home, shoot photos, and design your dream exterior oasis, complete with digital renderings, absolutely free. A landscape architect would charge thousands for a similar design. And if you decide to go ahead with the project, you'll be taking advantage of the most aggressive pricing and finance options on interlocking paving stones, SP turf, fire pits, lighting, and custom built-in barbecues. Remember, this incredible free design offer is only available to the first 10 callers right now. Call 888-PAVE-002. That's 888-PAVE-002.com.
Dr. Dina Dell.
If you're having trouble having a baby, you need to go to a place that really specializes in this subject. It's very complicated.
Pacific Fertility Center is that kind of place.
This is Pat Thurston. Those of you who know me know that I am a very happy, very proud mommy. What you didn't know until now is that I had a very hard time getting pregnant. I turned to Pacific Fertility, who made motherhood possible for me.
Pacific Fertility Center physicians are leading experts in the field of infertility. They provide the latest in high-tech treatments.
You need to find a center that offers a full range of therapies that are out there.
From my first meeting at the Pacific Fertility Center, I knew I would be a mom. These are the forerunners in fertility and fertility treatments. They diagnosed me, gave me the proper course of treatment, and celebrated my pregnancy when my test returned positive. Nothing has brought more joy to my life.
To attend a free seminar at Pacific Fertility Center, call them at 888-834-3095 or go to pacificfertilitycenter.com.
Anytime a company's as rich in history as Porsche is, there'll be myths surrounding it. One myth claims that as you take down the top of a Porsche Boxster, you can actually hear the faint sounds of a checkered flag waving just overhead. The truth is, you can't. Unless, of course, someone actually is waving a checkered flag just above your head, which is entirely possible given the racing pedigree of the Boxster. A second myth is that Porsche is out of reach. Again, not true. Take the Boxster, a mid-mounted engine that delivers infinite drivability, a finesse of steering that's unmistakably Porsche. The truest realization of a roadster available today, and starting at just $489 a month for 36 months. Visit your Bay Area Porsche dealer today and lease a 2010 Boxster. To find your closest Porsche dealer, visit bayarea.porschedealer.com and learn about special offers. Porsche, there is no substitute. 4009 due at lease signing, excludes destination charge, tax, title, and license fee. Offer ends April 30th, 2010.
Rise Genuine Toyota Service Center.
Dr. Dina Dell here. Welcome back to the program. All right, we're going to talk about those annoying little things. This is a fun, it's a fun piece on this. And so this woman sits a guy, we're going to talk about him in a second. His wife sits him down, wants a divorce. She's got a long list of complaints. He doesn't help with the kids. He doesn't do his share of the housework. They're more devoted to work than to each other. And then she brings up these English muffins. You never butter the muffins to the edges. You always put the pat of butter right in the middle, right? He was a little stunned. He says, you know, the weight of small things can be onerous. It's a symptom of a larger need. And he says, the stuff about don't sweat the small stuff, he says, bull, don't kid yourself. He says, just as we often fall in love with the little traits or quirks of our partner, you know, the little goofy laugh or the way she pets her cat, aggravation over the little characteristics we'd like to change about our mate can build up over time, become much more than the sum of their parts. And they get divorce attorneys weighing in here saying, you can, he says, his one says, I can tell you, a dirty sock left on the floor has a way of turning into, you don't listen to me, you don't respect me, you don't care about me, when it's really just dirty socks. And, you know, I agree, it's those little things that add up to a joyous experience in your relationship, or one that just the annoyance keeps adding. And he says, most unions that fail do so not because of big setbacks, you know, like a job loss or a sickness. The therapist here says when couples get these big challenges, they usually pull together and support one another. It's the little things. It's the little things. And that fellow I described in the beginning, his wife was just frustrated having to repeatedly tell him what her preferences were on a lot of things. And what she was telling him was he just wasn't hearing her, right? So we get into how do you cope with the small annoyances. Let's see. Husbands told me about what, this is the therapist thinking, about wives who chomp their gums or park the car crooked in the driveway, or wives that gripe about husbands who leave newspapers on the floor, refuse to put coasters under the drinks, and walk around the house naked. Are we getting into familiar territory here? One guy here says his wife would bicker with him while she was sleeping. Bathroom habits? Don't have to go there. Like toilet paper. Over the roll or under the roll. I never know what to do when I replace the toilet paper. I guess I'm the kind of guy that's a good guy because I do that. I always forget, should it be over or under? What's the difference? Under, you get a little friction and you can yank it and it tears more easily. Toilet seats, I don't want to get into that. Up or down, bras in the middle of the back of the door, dirty tiles, toothpaste tubes. You cannot squeeze from the middle. That's my father's favorite thing. Dirty dishes in the sink. And so here's a woman, she's complaining about her ex. Oh, he's leaving his dirty dishes beyond me. Why he couldn't get himself to figure out how to clean a dirty dish and move it from the sink to the dishwasher, which is a foot away. So she remarries. She says here, oh my gosh, my second husband, the same, leaves his dirty dishes in the sink. And she finally learned to take it in stride. She says, quote, by the time you marry a second time, you grow up. Well, sometimes it takes more than that. We avoid a lot of conflict by simply deferring many dialogues that are starting to get heated by saying, let's talk about it next time we see the therapist. A lot of couples, and here's a couple, they have been going into therapy every week for their entire marriage, and that's what they do. They defer. It doesn't have to be that. Long-term therapy is expensive. Here's a woman, this is, I don't know, she hates the sound of her husband smacking his lips when he chews. It's like someone is slopping through wet mud with her flip-flops on. She tried nagging him to get him to stop, the poor guy. She tried not eating at home with him. She takes him to loud restaurants that mask the noise. And then she hit on a solution. The fan on the stove. She uses it as a sound machine, so she leaves the fan, the exhaust fan on, which is loud, when she has to eat with him. I had to come up with coping mechanisms. All right, so I'm going to reduce all this down. This is actually out of a book here, Five Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great by University of Michigan, Dr. Orbach. Set realistic expectations. Acknowledge there are just some things you don't like about your partner all the time. Okay? Focus on the positive. Make a list of 10 characteristics you actually like or adore about your spouse. Turn your concentration to what's going well. This one is very important. I've always harped on this. Discuss the behavior, not your spouse's personality. Be careful to use the I word, not the you word. It's better to say, I get upset when you leave your underpants on the bathroom floor. It's not helpful to say, you're a slob, even if it's true. See? rephrase it as I words. Begin your sentences with I. Find the right time and place to discuss an annoying habit. Right after work, as your spouse is drifting off to sleep, that's not the good time. Pick a better time. Be prepared to compromise. Didn't your mother ever teach you? You can be right or you can be happy. Choose happy. If all else fails, go to bed mad. When you're tired and you become irrational, probably have more perspective about it in the morning. Okay? as Heather says, you don't listen when I say, please pick up your dirty socks. You throw it on the floor as if to mock me. Oh, Heather, we're going to have to talk about that. All right, let's talk to Charlie. How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, Dr. Dean.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, I heard you have a little confrontation with Jim Eason on KGO Radio because he had some people on there that were, I don't know what you call it, alternative medicine, and you were ragging on him about it, and you're still doing it to the good for everybody. And my thinking is, I just heard that you last week were talking about Oprah and all that stuff. With your nationwide audience, if we can't get an email and a letter writing campaign going to Oprah to get you on that show and tell the truth about some of these medical quackeries, that we could do one hell of a good job for the people in the United States.
Well, that's, thank you for the support. I read your comment as you're supporting a lot of the things I say, and I don't think there'd be a chance. Is a part of me, it's like, you know, we have our own, first of all, a general audience would be very, very hard. I mean, you folks listening to this program, you are very, very special. We've done surveys, extremely special. You know, you're smart and incisive. You want the truth. You understand objectivity. You don't want to be fooled by emotional responses. You want to know what's really going on. In general, you stood in front of Oprah's audience. They'd string you up. You'd be challenging the very tenets of what they believe in terms of the magic and emotional kind of thinking that often goes on. And I think Oprah's gotten the message. She's been hammered heavily recently about, you know, some of the quacks she puts on the air. And I don't think she'd be interested. I've criticized her over the years. This program is, carried on the great WLS in Chicago. And I'm sure she's heard things that have happened here, and I just as soon stay home. But you can take a try. You can take a try. See, what often happens in these programs, and I often decline the offers that I get, because I've learned early on that I watched many times early in my career when somebody who's running around the country on the book tour or whatever, peddling snake oil, and they've done 150 talk shows, and the local, you know, talk show person tries to bring in somebody rational, somebody who knows the subject better than the snake oil salesman, and to try to have a little debate going. When you've done 150 talk shows, you're going to just eat a scientist for lunch, because scientists are not used to this. They don't know the cliches and how you handle and how you answer people who make ridiculous and preposterous statements. You kind of look like you're the bubble burster, and it's dull, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, well, take your best shot. What can I tell you? And once again, I appreciate what I am presuming to be a compliment. Okay, let's take a quickie here. 1-800-548-TALK, 1-800-548-8255. Dr. Dean Adell here.
Ron, all remodeling contractors are not alike. I'm Larry Green, CEO of System Pavers, America's number one installer of interlocking paving stones and outdoor living systems. Contractors have a terrible reputation for taking the customer's money and running as fast as they can. System Pavers has spent nearly two decades providing quality and service to reverse that ugly trend. Just ask our 35,000 satisfied customers why they depend on System Pavers for their outdoor home makeovers. We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 25-year comprehensive warranty. That's unheard of in the remodeling industry. Another indication is the volume of repeat business from customers that ask us to add additional products to their existing installations, interlocking paving stones, SP turf, fire pits, outdoor lighting, and custom built-in barbecues. Click systempavers.com or call us 888-PAVE-002. That's 888-PAVE-002, 888-PAVE-002.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom222.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom222.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom222.com. Freedom222.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
2000.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Unadell here. Welcome to the program. Let's talk to Ron. How you doing, Ron?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm in Carmichael. Thank you for your program. I've listened to you since the 80s, right after you started.
Great. Thank you.
I asked you once about being our attorney general for the medical profession, and you said, oh, I can't do that. It would be too, it cost me too much money, but I'm still voting for you.
Thank you.
I have a friend in Crescent City whose granddaughter at 2 would take her book from her when she was reading to her, grab it and start speaking a foreign language like Japanese. The reason why I said that is she said she was on a plane and there was an Oriental person behind her and said, what did she say? So it was clearly a language, but at 2, how would she be able to do that?
Well, Ron, she wouldn't. I would look for some other explanation. I mean, there have been cases of adults. Well, let's go back. When you learn a language, when you're bilingual, truly bilingual, versus when you learn a language when you're an adult, you know, your brain stores it in different parts of the brain. And there have been cases of people who have a stroke on one part of the brain, and then all of a sudden another language emerges and they can start talking it, but they've learned it. When you hear cases with kids like this, it is presumed to be similar to what we were discussing, in that when you think about all the foreign languages in the world, and yet we all have the same voice box, and we make sounds in some languages that are very difficult for instance, an English native speaker to speak, and we have sounds very difficult for, say, someone who's Asian learning English. Without going over what those sounds are, you can understand how that would be. And that, as with the foreign accent syndrome deal, I would say that a child is capable of mimicking the sound of a language, the inflections, and may just hit upon a couple of words that might have... for instance, I have one of my kids at 6 or 8 months of age blurted out something in the middle of, we were having a conversation with airplanes, and I swear my son Caleb looks at me and he goes, you want to fly? And we had four people in the room. We all heard him say it, and he's pretty literal, you know, obviously not able to speak yet, but managed to, the sounds just randomly like monkeys and typewriters. So, Ron, I have no explanation. If a two-year-old child started speaking Japanese, I think this would be, you know, in Ripley's Believe It or Not, and be in the center of a centerfold of a medical journal. So it must have been the kid came up with a couple of words that, you know, must have sounded Japanese to someone who was sitting there and understood it. That's the best I can come up with. Anyone else got a better idea? Let's go for it. All right. Let's talk to Mary in Montana. How you doing, Mary?
Oh, Dr. Dinadale, I am so grateful for all you do. And I'm a dietitian who also tries to fight snake oil. But
oh,
the reason I'm calling today is 20 years ago, we were very lucky that I met a total stranger on the metro train going into D.C. who gave us the answer to our daughter's autism. I carry the fragile X gene.
Oh.
Which we have over 10 family members who are also carriers like I am. And our firstborn daughter inherited the full mutation. She's 34 years old. She's doing great, but she presents with some learning issues and also a seizure disorder that she developed 4 years ago. And this condition also explains why I went through early menopause and why I have much higher rate of hypothyroidism.
Yes. Can I, would you want me to talk a little about Fragile X? Is that your question?
Well, I need your help. I'm in the state of Montana, and I'm always fighting the snake oil salesmen here who want to cure our daughter and others with autism with their snake oil. And if you could help me get the word out about this and the website, I would
yes.
be so grateful.
Sure. If you got a website, fire away. What is it?
It's www.fragilex.org.
Oh, good for you. You got the good URL. Fragile X. It's fragile like the word you all used to hearing, fragilex.org. Let me tell you what's going on because a lot of people are going to be confused. Well, yes, this can cause autism. It's called Fragile X because when you look at the X chromosome under a microscope, the end of it looks a little dangly. It looks like it's fragile. Men are XY. Women are XX. It's more common in men. And it is extraordinarily interesting, and it causes a wide range of things from sometimes learning disabilities and behavioral problems and autism and autistic-like behaviors and speech problems, sensitivity to light and other kinds of things. But I tell you, it can be variable, and it is, without getting into what this is, but it has to do with some genes, they repeat themselves or subsets of the genes. And it goes over and over and over, you know, for up to, you know, 20, 30 different times. When you have too many repeats, then the gene doesn't make a protein and development is off. And we don't understand exactly why that is. But it can run when a female has it. You see, you can often have another X that's normal to fight it. But in a male, he's got a Y chromosome, which is kind of useless for fighting this, and he gets it, he's more likely to manifest the full syndrome. And some people just don't want to hear that there are genetic components to autism, and that's what it's going to turn